research and this is July 7, 1998, interviewing Manly Webb at his place of business at Davis Florist and being interviewed by Frank T. Hilton.
Well, this was a big oak tree just north of the campsite there.
This is at Camp Ellis?
At Camp Ellis.
Now, when people went, did they just go as a group rather than camp as troops, or did they
camp as troops?
Troops
primarily.
Okay.
We didn't have a lot of camping equipment. I see here, a lot of tents like that, tents of all kinds is what we had. Every morning they were set out, cots were taken outside and sunned, you know, if they were in the camp.
And put in a straight row?
Right, right. And this was the dining hall, which was made up of tents.
Well, wooden poles with a wooden frame, and then the dining hall was put over.
Right. And this was the old council wing down there, and that was participants of the campfire.
Who they were. Y'all had some of the old conical tents that were left over from World War I.
Mm-hmm. Like this.
Yes.
Like those, yeah. And that was a signal tower by the a big old tall tree. And the scouts built that during the time. And that particular year I was down there, yeah, there we are. Now this is quite a deal. All scouts in camp are supposed to go on a 5 mile hike. This Camp Ellis was about 2.5 to 3 miles back north of what is now Sloan's Crossing, Mississippi River. And we were supposed to hike to Sloan's Crossing and back. We were supposed to go two and two together. And not as a whole group, just buddies. And we started out that way. But there was a little old draw that ran all the time that came from way back up in the mountains north, southeast of there, ran towards the river. And of course, I forgot who I started out with. It seemed like Dan Barker. We got playing along in the water and got on up a little further, ran into a couple more. Then we went on four. Went on a little further, got on up there, and found a couple more. And when we did, we met up with an old couple working their garden. And they had some water. They put a water on me. So we sat down and they parted. And by that time, well, it had begun to cloud up. We said maybe we better start off. And those clouds rolled in pretty heavy. And they got heavier and heavier, and we decided, well, we better hurry up. So we got in a hurry and got on down to the Sloan Crossing. And it started to rain. And we thought, Lord have mercy, we got to get back to camp. We started back, and the sky opened up and just poured. Well, we came on back, about a quarter, half a mile or something like that, kept through that rain. And it was just pouring down and we were soaking wet. So we came to the farmhouse and knocked on the door and there wasn't a soul. And we looked all around out the barn. We found a barn out there that had cotton seed in it. So being wet, the air turned chill. We were cold. We crawled up in that cotton seat then, covered up in that cotton seat. And got good and warm. We snuggled down there and got warm. First thing you know, we sleep. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, Cliff Fancy and two or three of the scoutmasters had been out hunting us all night. Oh, goddamn.
Well, I bet y'all really got some licks in and, you guys.
But before they had been out, this old couple, whose place we were in, had got home, found dog, and came out 10 pounds. And the old man said, "What are you going to do?" And we told him the story about some of them. So we're good as you need to be out here. Come on, tell. So we took us up to the house. The lady took us in the kitchen and fried some ham and cooked some eggs. And then fixed a couple of beds, put us to bed. And about 2 o'clock, Cliff and two or three scoutmasters came down and knocked on the door, and I don't know if they'd seen some scouts. And I said, "Yes, we got them." Made a little dust and picked up and carried us back to camp. And oh man, did we get it. We got chewed out from start to finish. And the next day we were just really giving a hard time. And two of them decided they were going to go home. And that's what this was.
Oh, was that Crystal Parrish and Dan Barefoot going home?
Yeah, going home.
Oh, they had had all they could take.
Well,
there were two that were with you.
Yeah.
Who else were with you, do you remember?
No, I don't really.
There were what, about six of you?
Six of them. There were six of them.
Well, I wondered what that picture was.
Well, that's what it was.
Oh.
And I tell you what, Cliff didn't ever let me forget that. He died. Every now and then I'd see him, he'd remind me. It was something. And as long as pretty.
Y'all whitewashed rocks, didn't you, as you lined
it? Oh, yeah, yeah. That's where you did your camp areas, you keep them separated. That was a flagpole.
You remember what this was? Or it may have been a troop.
Yeah.
That did an emblem.
Yeah, that's T. Herbert Wright's own.
G.T. Thompson. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with me. There's another picture here that I want you to see if you can identify any more people. Now, this is a first year at Camp Billy Gibbons, and some of them have been identified, but you may be able to identify some of the others in that picture. There's Cliff Pouncey, mm-hmm. Chief Red Eagle, mm-hmm. and this is Weinbringer, and this is Wilkes. He was Scoutmaster.
Yeah.
True. Is it one in the white shirt or one in the Scout uniform?
One in the Scout uniform.
Okay. And then there was Mrs. Pouncey.
Yeah.
And his, her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recognize any of the other people in that picture that were on the staff? I assume that was the staff of the camp.
No, I don't see any of those there that I recognize.
Do you recognize these people? They might be. I thought they might be John Gibbons, but I'm not sure that that would have been.
Well, that's what I'd fix to say. I'm not sure, but I think it's John Gibbons. It won't be possible.
Okay, there was another picture.
Which never asked there, but one time.
This was the Troop 2 Scout Hut at the Lucas Pecan Farm, right?
Well, out here at what is the Turner place. No, it's the Turner place now, and it belongs to
the veterinarian was bought.
Well, this scout hut, there's a lake.
I think they've covered the lake
east.
The pecan orchard itself? Or?
No, the house there.
Right, the house sits up on the hill.
And there's a lake in kind of southeast of the house there. And there's a little frame house that sit on the bank there. It drew water, runoff water from the hill around there. Is all.
Well, on the stock tank and the lake?
Yeah. Right. And that's where it was. I was never out there but one time.
You know how long it lasted before it disappeared? I don't think it's out there now.
No, it's not there now. I don't think a few years.
I think they built it in 29 or 30, and they had a board meeting out there in 31, somewhere around there.
And then it was gone pretty soon after that.
But you remember being, was it just a one room?
Yeah.
Did it have a fireplace, do you remember?
No.
Just a one room?
Just one room.
Look, I didn't have any windows either, but
no,
just a door.
Just a door.
Did you recognize any of the people in that picture besides the Pouncey?
No,
and
I don't.
Gaither Brownie? Well, tell me about Camp Ellis. You said you went. What else do you remember besides the rain and the hike y'all took?
That's about all. It was...
You ate in a canvas-covered dining hall.
Mm-hmm.
You remember what y'all ate in those days? You had bacon and eggs for breakfast? And
bacon and eggs, beans for lunch. And
stew.
Very common food. Nothing fancy.
Did y'all, that's where the bull game, the first bull game, went to Camp Ellis and helped get that ready,
mm-hmm.
put into the paper. Were you ever involved with the bull game, or?
No, I never worked in the bull game.
What did you know about the bull game?
Well, it was quite an honor for all the bigger kids. I was always a little guy, and not big enough to do anything much. It was kind of overlooked, anything like that.
Did you get in the Cunier Society of the Order of the Black Arrow or anything?
I got in the Cunier, but after I became scout master down at first Camp Dedicators.
Can you tell me something about what they did or how you got in it? Or?
Well, at that time, as a leader, I was taking in men and went through secret initiation, a lot like Order of the Arrow, to some extent. And the meeting place was down in Rock Canyon between two huge rocks, back up just south of the main campsite, and the right back way quarter mile from the campsite. There's some big rock cliffs that were about 20 feet high. And
so, like Plum Hollow is at the new campsite?
Yeah, kind of like it. Except a little more distinct. In the fact that the rocks were almost straight up and down, And they had gone in and done engine painters.
But Dathan Browning did those on the stand.
Yeah, on the walls of that, you know, and had a story to go with it. There was a school teacher, and I've been trying to, since he called the other day, I've been trying to think of his name. He taught at Grissom Springs and was real interested in Indian war. And he was a great storyteller. He did a lot of story narrating down there for the Cuneate, you know, and then after we moved up to the present camp for a number of years. And 08 Collins, he did a lot of color work, talks, colors concerning it, you know. I made a good story out of it. He was very, very good. I can't remember his name.
What is your impressions of the old camp that I get when you was a kid? Going there for you went there the first year they opened the camp, didn't you, in 31?
No, I never went to Billy Gibbons as a kid.
Oh, you didn't? Only as an adult?
I went to Camp Ellis as a kid, and then I went to Camp Fawcett when I went to Camp Fawcett.
And that was the last year you went to camp. Did you go to any summer camp prior to going that 1 year to Camp Ellis?
No.
Okay.
That 1 year to Camp Ellis, and then they didn't have camp the next year. So we went to Camp Fawcett.
There were only 50 of you that went to Camp Fawcett.
Mr. Holly had been a Chevrolet dealer at the Pope and had just moved his business down for that year. And the leaders went to him and borrowed trucks to take us down. Got two open buses, you know, with seats on the side. No glass or anything, just open bus to carry us, and an old flatbed truck to carry us all down. We left here about 8 o'clock in the morning, and the main contingent got down there about 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. But the truck was bringing all the equipment. They didn't show up. Along about dark, Cub Register, another scoutmaster, said, well, we need to see if we can find that truck. So Eric Murphy and who was his name? Eric was down there in his pickup. And he got somebody else to go and he sent to I went with him, and another boy, I can't remember who was he, went with us, of course, and he went back, and we found this truck. At that time, from Junction to Camp Fawcett, to cross the river 15 times.
Yeah. That was the Pecos River?
Uh-huh. And they had stalled that thing in the middle of the river. The last crossing.
Well, they said in newspaper stories 48 hours before they got the stuff to camp for y'all.
Well, it was good. So they couldn't start the truck. So they decided they had to have some help. So they left me and this other boy there, told us to climb up on top of it and go to sleep so wouldn't anybody steal the stuff. So we did. And they went on back to camp and came back about sunup the next morning and got the truck started back over to camp the next morning. That was quite a trip.
What are your impressions of Camp Fawcett?
It was a nice camp. Beautiful. That river is
New Aces River. Yeah, I ran that camp for 14 years as camp director.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And I've done a lot of research on the history. There was a man from Galveston, a captain, who flew in an airplane and landed on the Boy Scout landing field that week across the road from the scout camp that the scouts had built at landing field. Do you remember anything about a captain who came down there in an airplane that week?
No.
There was also a man there, Chief Red Eagle, from Roswell, New Mexico. There was supposed to have been the son of our grandson of Geronimo.
Yeah, I remember.
And what do you remember about him?
We were just amazed, you know. Had a real Indian being there among us and telling us an Indian way. His kids just eased up, you know.
I understand he had a hide-covered teepee there at the camp.
Yeah.
Y'all ate at an arbor down on the, y'all eat in dining hall or did you eat in an arbor that was down on the waterfront?
I believe it was in a dining hall.
With a dirt floor.
Mm-hmm.
They just built it.
Yeah. And we went on cub racers, our scoutmaster. He always liked to take hikes. And we decided we had a free day one day and he decided we'd take all day hike. And we got a nice pack, started out, and hiked out across the country there. Was hiking along, and along about noon, while a couple of fellas rode up on horses with guns on their side. And said, "What are you all doing here?" Right, he said, "Well, we were scouts, so we were just hiking over here, just to see what the country was like. But we don't allow anybody get your tail off the field right quick." And they were real hard, so we just scared the life out of those kids. So we turned tail, got off his property right quick.
What else do you remember being down? Of course, swimming in that nice river, but
yeah.
What else did y'all do in those days of scouting at the camp? Archery was real popular then.
Yes.
Did you make a bow and an arrow and as a kid, or?
No. That's been so long.
I've forgotten half of what
I've forgotten what half of what it is.
What were the main events in camp? Swimming, of course, life-saving.
Swimming, life-saving, that was the main thing. And
hiking.
Hiking.
Camp inspection.
Camp inspection. Compass study.
Flag ceremonies.
Yeah.
Did y'all do calisthenics when you got up in the morning, or?
No.
You didn't get up early in the morning. I know some of the earlier camps they did.
Yeah.
What do you remember most about your younger years in scouting? Whether it was here in town with Troop 1 or at camp or on a trip or?
Well, not anything really outstanding. It was all just, at that time, kids, it was just fun to me.
Where did y'all go when you go camping out of Brownwood?
All around, just on different ranch property, you know, that...
y'all hiked out to, or you go by vehicle? Or?
Hiked most of the time.
There's a place south of Brownwood called Lakewood. You had a swimming pool. You remember going out there?
Oh, yeah.
Did y'all ever do any scout things out there?
Oh, yeah, we camped out there a lot.
Describe it to me.
Well, do you know where it is?
I don't know really where it is, except south off Austin Avenue and across the loop.
Yeah. Well, there where Highway 45 crosses Austin.
Okay.
That was the north line of the property. And the property ran down to a field that lays on the right-hand side there of Austin, which I guess fairly popular. Simplify maybe 100 acres. This lake room was hot water, artesian well that Mr. McCullough had drilled for oil. He hit this artesian water. It was slightly sulfur. And he decided to build a swimming pool. And he built a big concrete swimming pool. And it was not enough sulfur in it to be obnoxious. You could tell it was in there. And it was a very popular place. I mean, they were in the dogs and all sorts of swimming.
They had 4-H camp out there, I understand.
Mm-hmm. A lot of camps out there.
Did they have any provisions besides, or anything outside of the swimming pool and probably a dressing area?
Well, they had the swimming pool lay here and up on the hillside of it was the dressing room, and there was one big open hallway room up there that they could have meetings in.
So like a pavilion type
thing? Pavilion type things. And then on the north end of that, there was a smaller room for a snack bar, cold drinks and stuff like that. And then out in the swimming pool, there was a platform that ran out for about a third of the way across the pool. To go out there and swim off of and dive off of.
Is that pool still there today? Or?
No, it's been
filled in,
covered up, and gone. Well, I had none. Then there wasn't any electricity out there. And this Mr. McCullough bought a big generator and had a big old Cadillac engine. I had none. It was mechanic. He hired him to run that electrical plant and do other maintenance work. And he lived up there for 2 or 3 years. He had a house in the south of there where they, he and his family lived. And he ran this electrical plant and gave electricity to the
place at night.
Place at night.
What was scouting like back in the 20s? How would you characterize it as being different than scouting today? Or even when you were a scoutmaster, how was it different in the 20s versus when you were a scoutmaster?
Not a whole lot of difference, Frank. We didn't have as much help.
One-man troops?
Yeah, as we have today, and we didn't have as much scout material coming out of Nashville as we have today. Information was very limited, and so far as I know, when I was in scouting, it was even more limited than it was when I was a scoutmaster. And the leaders had to depend more or less on their own initiative. And for the most part, only men who were interested in outdoor life would get involved with it.
You remember there being a scout office when you were first joined scouting, or a place in town that they had an office?
Well, the first scout office that I can remember being as was in the courthouse, in the basement, there on this side. That was when Mr. Carter
got in there.
I regret the fact that my mind doesn't retain some of the stuff I wish that it did retain.
Doing pretty good. You were council president of the council in 1968. Yeah. Rio Cox was commissioner and John Pound was scout executive. Tell me a little about that year you were president.
Well, it was, we didn't accomplish a whole lot, really. John Pound was a good man, but he was
stubborn. I knew John. I worked for him before he came here.
And he wanted to run the whole show. And as a result, the council ran under his
direction
and jurisdiction. I had not much input into it at that time.
Did y'all do anything at Camp Billy Gibbons during that time? John seemed to me, told me one time they had re-roofed the dining hall or something down there.
Well, we did. I don't know if it's in that
time frame.
In that time frame, but it was re-roofed during that long enough period of time. I can't remember this exactly.
What else do you remember about scouting in Brownwood in the earlier days? Because you were in it for a, it seemed like forever.
Well,
you never got out of it.
Several years. One thing I remember about the present campers was when we moved up there, it was just a real wilderness camp that year.
Did they even have a dining hall the first year?
No. It was under a tent the first year. And
dam wasn't there?
No.
Y'all swam down in Blue Hole?
Mm-hmm. And everybody had to clear out this campsite during the brush down. We cleared out that campsite up on the hill. The last one on the northwest campsite up there. That was our campsite. And for latrines, we had 5 gallon Pepsi Cola cans used for latrines. And then they
had seats put over them?
Yep. And then the how you doing? The camp crew would come around and pick them up, yeah. Take them up on the ranch and dump.
How about the waterfront? Did y'all have any? They had rowboats at the old camp Billy Gibbons. I understand they didn't have canoes though.
No, they didn't have canoes.
Did y'all have canoes at the new camp Billy Gibbons, y'all's first year there?
We had one or two, and then added later on.
Do you remember anything about the dam being built?
I remember it was built, but I don't remember. I didn't work on it.
And I can't find it. I can find lots of stuff on the old dam at the old camp, but I can't find anything on the dam at the new camp.
Yeah.
I understand some people built it while the scout executive was on vacation, because he wanted it down below Blue Hole, and they decided they wanted further up the river, so
yeah.
While he was gone, they started
working. And they built it on what they thought was a solid ledge, and put a 55-gallon barrel in the center part of it to drain it. That didn't work too hot.
Didn't drain?
No.
Well, one year they had a flood and it washed out a corner of the dam, mm-hmm. and then they had to extend it.
It had to extend it.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So what do you remember about it?
Well, it was right after camp was over that the flood came and just flooded that whole thing out there and washed a big lot of well. About 40 feet out of that.
Yeah, they had an old spillway or concrete thing, mm-hmm. and that's what washed out.
That's what washed out. And of course, they were able to get it built back before
the next summer
camp period.
How about the dining hall? Were you around when they built it?
Well, they were involved in this lawsuit with Seneford for a year or two.
Seneford? Who's Seneford?
That owned the land where the old Camp Billy Gibbons was.
After Billy Gibbons died, they acquired the land or bought
no.
it?
No. The land, Billy Gibbons gave a 100-year lease on the land to the scouts. Did not deed it to them. Just a 100-year lease.
Verbal agreement.
Mm-hmm. More or less. And after he died, the family sold all of it on the south side of the river to
pay for taxes.
I don't know what to deal with.
Yeah. I understand they had to sell some of it to pay taxes.
Yeah. But sold it to Carl Center and some salmon and logging. And he moved out there and built that big house up on the hill on the other side. Well, everything went fine for 2 or 3 years. His wife liked to get the father people. And he was in Austin, held some kind of office down in Austin. And while he was down there, she was out there at the ranch, and she got all tanked up and wanted to get rid of the scouts. So she got a couple of bulldozers in there and bulldozed everything they had down there.
The buildings or just the trees?
The
buildings and everything.
Yep. Everything. Just cleared it. And that's what created the controversy.
I can imagine. I thought it was just the trees, but it was latrines and buildings.
Everything. And so the council sued Seneca. And finally got, I think, $10,000 or something like that. And that's what they salvaged then what they could of the old dining hall.
The lumber and stuff.
Lumber and rock and stuff that they could move.
Well, some of the rock was moved too.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. I was.
I think so. But the lumber and stuff like that.
But that was after they had physically moved to the new Camp Billy Gibbons and all that was done. Because they moved in 47 was the first summer camp they had. And I guess the last camp they had at the old Billy Gibbons was in 46.
Yes.
And they'd organized the OA in 45. And I talked to some OA members said they helped move the camp, I guess, whatever was down there to move.
Yeah. Another interesting story, I don't know whether they said anything about it or not, but down at the old camp, there was an old boy by the name of Burns, a school teacher here, that ran the mess on it.
Was he a warm arm?
Uh-huh. and went on. He was a great guy. He loved kids.
At Bethlehem, he couldn't think of his name this morning, but he said he'd walk around with that wooden pig under his one arm. Tell me a little about Mr. Burns.
Well, he was principal of Coggin School over here, and he dearly loved to go to camp every summer and run the mess hall.
He must have done it for many years.
He did. And he would carry that pig around. And if a table of kids cut up or made a mess or something, or they got the pig paid. And then each one got a paddle. He always had a paddle about that long, one before. That was before corporal punishment.
Well, being a principal, I guess he was used to using it.
Well, he'd get them up there and swat them. And they all loved it. It was great fun.
Describe the pig. What did it look like?
It was somebody had found an old cedar root that was shaped something kind of like that. And it was about that long.
About 18 inches long?
Yeah.
With four legs and a snout on it.
Yeah. And peeled, you know.
Bark peeled off of it.
Yeah. And that was his pig.
How many years did they do that, do you know?
I don't know. Let me see. They were doing it when I...
Did they do it at the new camp at the Gibbons, do you know? Or just at the old one?
They did it a couple of years.
At the new one?
At the new camp. He got to where he wasn't able to do it. But as long as he was able, he did. And they had been doing it, I think it started down at the old camp, when they started camp down there.
What other things do you remember them doing at camp besides the pig? Campfires or special events, or I know parents used to come out on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was always call out night was a big night.
Was that when you go to your campsite and they'd come in the night and get a guy, and I know in the Cunier they didn't know who was going to be picked, they just disappeared in the middle of the night. You'd wake up and your tent mate would be gone.
Yeah. No, the way that they were doing this, they down at the council ring, they would have all the scouts down there.
Which camp is this? The old one or the new one?
The new one.
Okay.
Yeah.
They had the Autumn of the Arrow one.
Yeah. Autumn of the Arrow. It was all out night. It was always a big night. And you know, that it was a big deal to get that arrow ready. Before they got a butane, they had to wrap that thing with burlap and soak it with gasoline. Kerosene, get it ready to burn, and then so it got to the point that everybody was afraid to burn it, set something on fire.
Well, were you there when they built the ring, when they built the present OA ring?
Yeah.
Somebody told me there was a road that came in the back of the camp back there, on the back side, and that they had the OA members actually physically haul dirt and fill in that ring area with dirt bought from somewhere. I don't know whether it was right next door or they got it out of Plum Hollow or where.
I don't remember
that. But the original council ring, I understand, was somewhere down in that area too.
Yeah.
When they first had the first camp down there, they picked a place out. Maybe where the present OA ring is, nobody seems to know. And they used to shoot archery and rifle down in the canyon.
Yeah.
and was what was the swimming that they first start out? You said they had rowing and a couple of canoes and then swimming and life saving?
Yes, swimming
and life saving. And I assume they had archery.
Yes. Well, it didn't have archery back in the old camp. It came on, we had, well, it was several years.
The new camp?
At the new camp before it started.
What y'all do at the old camp? Must have gone hiking a lot, but...
We went hiking and worked on married bedrooms.
Signaling and stuff like that?
Signaling, stuff like that.
Fire building?
Fire building, things like that.
Tell me a little about some of the leaders you remember, like Pouncey and Guy Curl, and what do you remember about those gentlemen?
Well, they were the ones that kept everybody going.
How did they differ from scout executives of today? They were basically outdoors people, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they were. And not, not real. Kept about keeping records and
running an office.
Running an office and different things like that. Now, when I was scouting, Cub Bragg's a scoutmaster. He was strictly outdoor.
What did he do for a living?
He had a contract, electrical contract.
So he could get away to
yeah.
do things. What do you remember about him?
Well, to me, I thoroughly enjoyed him. He was a good outdoor. He was always good for kids. Try to show us a good time. And I worked for him 2 years.
Oh, you did with his company?
After I got out of scouts. Worked for him at school on Saturdays doing electrical repair and irons and fans and stuff like that.
Do you remember them ever having a Boy Scout band at camp?
No.
Or having a Boy Scout band here in Brownwood?
I don't
remember. They tried to organize one. I was just wondering whether they ever got it organized.
Well, I know they tried, but I don't think it ever got off the ground so far as I know.
They had about 20 instruments and they were going to organize one. They were going to go down to San Saba to an archery contest down there. They were going to play down there, but apparently it never. There's nothing in the paper about them ever playing.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they ever got it off the ground.
Was there any other thing they did as a group in Brownwood like that? Or they had a Society of Eagles. And they had the Society of the Black Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And, they always helped with the beautification program every year,
yeah.
Win money. What else did y'all do?
That about covers it. I can think of, right?
These are things that I've gleaned from the newspaper articles I found
yeah.
in the paper. What was your best experience in scouting if you had to put it all together all these years? Because you've got what? How many years have you got in scouting now?
Oh, around 60.
Yeah. What do you remember the most of the, what gave you the most pleasure in scouting? Being a scoutmaster?
I think so.
Why?
You got a chance to do things for kids that couldn't do otherwise.
Do you feel like you helped some kids?
I think so.
Do they still come by here occasionally and say hello? Are they too old?
Well, one particular kid, Gary Boyer, he was a little bitty dried up kid, and his mother and father were separated, and he and his brother lived, but grandmother's grandfather. His grandfather owned a little Lyric Pig down here where Pat and Keene is now. And I had both the boys in the troop. And Gary was a good kid, but he was just as mischievous as he could be. And he'd do anything under the sun to aggravate you. That's what he was all about.
Wanting attention.
Wanting attention. And, of course, back then we were still using space. And he didn't think he'd been scouting any, but he didn't get bopped two or three times. And I generally
obliged.
And
what's the worst thing he ever did?
I don't know.
There's so many.
I can't remember though. But anyway, he lived up, grew up, went to A&M, made an engineer, worked for the highway department in Dallas. And he inherited some property from his granddad. His brother died down in Jamaica a number of years ago. He inherits some property, his buildings down here where the appraiser district is and where that MHMR workshop is.
Right.
That's his building. And he's back over here every so often. He always comes by, visits. Said, you know, if it hadn't been for you busting my butt, said, I would probably have been in a
well, that makes it all worthwhile.
It makes it all
worthwhile. At least if they'd admit it.
But a lot of them, another kid, lived out here in North Carolina on Whiskey Hollow Road. Pretty good sized family, and at that time we had several boys from up to the lake, and he was a good friend of them, of theirs, and he got to come and scout and join the troop, and he was a very conscientious kid, but he just didn't ever have a chance targets to do anything that he wanted to do. Well, his mother was a distant relative of E.E. Kirkpatrick, who had a slew of money. Well, in 1900 year. But anyway, one of the national jamborees was the Battle of Orange.
The first one they had there, or the second one?
Second one, I believe.
The 54.
Yeah.
I went in 50.
Yeah.
May have been 56, but 54,
56.
Yeah.
Anyway, he got all enthused about that. And some way, Mr. Kirkpatrick told him that he would pay his way to the National Jamboree. And he furnished the money for him. Well, of course, the kid had to have a scout uniform, had to have an Indian costume and all this. Well, his family didn't know how to go about doing any of it. And Estelle and I
sponsored him,
fixed him up, made his, helped him make his Indian costume, and got him all ready. And that kid was thrilled to a tee. And those are the things that made it worthwhile.
It's always the little things more so than the big things.
Oh, yeah.
The big things were tools to make the little things happen.
That's true. And I guess
fact that you can look back and see some that you feel like you may have been. I've had three that was in true. Two that went in scouting profession.
Who were they? Do you know?
Burt Kennedy.
All right. He just retired in March.
And Richmond Wood.
Okay. Rich is still record camping for the Dallas Circle 10 Council. I know both of them real well.
Yep.
Rick more so than Burt. I knew Dabney, his brother, a lot more than I knew Burt.
Well, I've done a lot with Burt. With Dabney. Dabney's been very, very good to me.
Well, let's look at some pictures.